Office 2010 shipped, and we're here talking with some of the people that actually built it. Brian Jones, thanks for coming on C9.
Thanks.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've done for 2010.
Yeah, so I'm the group program manager for a team called the Office Solution Framework team. So we focus on programmability in Office, developers, what kind of things developers want to build in Office. In 2010, one of the key things that I focused on was just in general looking at the developer story, kind of how we make sense of the new server products that we're building, the Word server, Excel services,
nice,
as well as the new file formats. The file formats were new to 2007, but we did a lot of work for developers in 2010, focusing on building a thing called the OpenXML SDK, which is essentially an API that developers can use to access the file formats up on a server, or really anywhere that they want to, and really start to do more interesting things with Office documents.
Excellent. I mean, Office sort of has always been a platform. I mean, you've had VBA,
yeah,
plugins. Let's talk a little bit how it's evolved in this release.
Yeah, Office development has kind of evolved the same way Office has, if you think of the way that Office is developed for users, where, you know, back in Office 97, the key focus was still more on the individual. People would have documents that they'd create for themselves, and if they shared them with people, they'd probably just print them out and give the person a hard copy. Over time, email and the internet started to come along. People started to collaborate more on the actual digital versions of the documents. And you can kind of see how Office Developer evolved that same way, where initially programming in Office was much more about VBA embedded in documents. It was specific to that doc. People would build solutions just about one document. And really the focus of the solution was on making one individual more productive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, fast forward four or five releases, the focus is much more on work group productivity, right? People are building solutions that span a bunch of people. It's no longer about that making that one guy more productive. It's about making the entire work group more productive. So more and more of the solutions live on the server. The Office applications themselves are just participants in the larger solution. Mm-hmm. And that's why the SharePoint and Office kind of better together story works so well for developers.
Absolutely. And I mean, we've been talking a lot about the all-in strategy for the cloud, which people out there understand. And this is a great example. I mean, Office is really a great example of a smart client or a fit client.
Absolutely, yeah. We've actually, even in, I think one of the first examples of essentially the cloud or the web adding value to Office came probably in Office 2003. We had a feature that was called the Research, I think it was just called Research Library, that was in Word and Excel and PowerPoint, where you could actually have a web service running that would go and stream content down that would surface in a task pane. So anytime a user would click on a word that they wanted to look up, it would call off to this web service, and any third party could write one of these services that would then go and surface rich content directly to the user.
Excellent.
Right? And so we've been focused a lot on ways in which the rich client can really do its job, which is providing a really rich editing experience, modeling experience for people, and then you can have more and more of these solutions that are living on the web and just driving content down to the clients.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what your team is working on. I
mean. Yeah, absolutely. And we continue to look at that going forward, thinking more and more about how the cloud itself is relevant, what type of services we want to go and host, and if you look at things like Word services and Excel services, you'll see that we're even bringing a lot of the rich functionality that people have traditionally just thought as client functionality up into the web so that you can do, like with Word services, you can do these bulk print jobs up on a server where you really don't even want the client involved. You want to just go and take, auto-generate 10,000 Word documents based on data in a database, convert those to PDF, and send those off to folks, right? And so
Absolutely.
We're really trying to see how to combine the best of the cloud and the rich clients.
Cool. Now, from a developer's perspective, let's talk a little bit about integrating these services into my plugins, right? So, you know, we do offer the ability for people to write managed code, right?
Absolutely.
.NET.
Yeah.
And then also, of course, VBA and scripting in general. Let's talk a little bit about how that's evolved.
Yeah.
And how that interoperates with the services you're talking about.
Yeah, so we continue to support the model of VBA embedded in documents. In fact, there still are a lot of developers that go and use that, especially more of the kind of non-pro developer, right? The more what we refer to as a power user who wants to go and record a macro, and then they'll tweak a little bit to really help them get their job done faster. A lot of that's more around automating tasks, right? You need to go and clean up some data in an Excel spreadsheet. You have to do that over 10,000 rows. You write a little macro and have that just iterate over all of that data and clean that data up. But we've also worked really closely with the developer division in Microsoft so that we have a great story for professional developers, too, who are using Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. And that started with a lot of the VSTO features that team built. And we've done even more this time to really make it easier for people just to go and use Visual Studio to easily write solutions against Office. So Office, just out of the box, is prepared to go and receive these Visual Studio solutions mm-hmm. so people can write managed code against Office.
Now, back in the day when I was actually a developer, I remember interoperating with Office was not necessarily the most pleasant experience in the world because of the object model,
yep.
Especially going from sort of the native object model to the .NET world, where you're not, everything's strongly typed and you're used to having this nice pattern. So what changes have you made to the Office programming model, so the object model in general, in 2010? Certainly must have evolved a little bit.
Yeah, there is. And we've looked a lot at the different types of scenarios that people were trying to build, right? There are a lot of times that people were using the object model against Office, and realistically, they were just trying to operate on content that was in the document.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't really need a lot of the application behaviors and application runtimes, right? And that was really what led us to go and do the open file formats. For instance, a document assembly scenario where you want to go and take a bunch of data and use it to assemble a document, right? Relying on the Word runtime and the APIs to go and build that was really cumbersome. It was overweight. And if you wanted to do that in bulk, it just didn't scale properly, mm-hmm. right? With a file format, you can operate much more against the data, right? So you're operating directly against the data. You just go and stream the information you want into the file. And then the application isn't really involved until the user wants to interact with that file.
Okay.
So the application's for the user, and then the developers can really just program directly against the documents. There's also a lot of work that we've done with the web offerings, like with the Excel services, where you can go and just make REST calls directly against an Excel spreadsheet. If you want to go and get a chart out of a spreadsheet, or you want to go and get some data out of a spreadsheet, there's a REST API to let you go and go directly against that rather than going through the old APIs.
Excellent.
So there's a lot of great options for developers depending on what they're trying to build.
So now I'm going to ask some questions from Niners. Zippy V asks quite bluntly, will VBA ever be replaced completely with .NET? And what's your answer? How would you answer that?
So, Zippy V, I would say that I don't know that we would think of it as being a full sale replacement. I'd say, for one, people who are building stuff with VBA don't need to worry. VBA is not going anywhere anytime soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the key things that we care deeply about in Office is the existing base of solutions that people have built. Right.
Sure.
And so we need to continue to support VBA and potentially even make it better over time too, right?
Sure.
Even though there's this other world that people are now using to program against Office. I think that if you look at the work that we've done with the developer division and the VSTO guys, there definitely is a better and better managed story against Office too, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even more so with things like the OpenXML SDK. It's a managed API, for instance, right? So we are trying to give the managed developer as much power, if not more so, than what the VBA developer has had.
But, I mean, you just said a really interesting thing. I mean, the OpenXML SDK is a managed.
Yep.
Yet we do want VBA people to be able to exploit it, right? So there's going to have to be an interop layer now?
Well, no. So if you think about the scenarios, actually, the people that are using VBA traditionally aren't the same set of folks that are going to go and use the OpenXML SDK.
Okay.
The OpenXML SDK is much more of a professional developer type of solution, right, where you need to understand the file formats, the architecture of the file formats.
Sure.
For the most part, that's running up on a server. VBA is something that's running directly inside of the application, right, on the client. And it's actually something that needs to support more of the kind of the power user, right?
The
macro recorder, the scripter, right?
Okay.
And so it's a little bit of a different story.
And what about native developers? You know,
yeah.
The C++ people.
Absolutely. Are they still
cranking away on
absolutely,
plugins?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right.
They have been for a long time, and Office has been extremely, extremely dependent upon the ecosystem build these solutions. I mean, at the end of the day, our success is completely based on the success of these developers, right? Those folks, we love them.
Excellent, yeah. Man. Well, we do too. So power to the native people, but this is a different one.
All right.
So we have another question, and this is from Josh Ross, and we're going back to VBA. Apparently Niners are into VBA. What's new exactly in the latest version? I mean, clearly it's evolved at 7.0. Right?
Yeah, so the big evolution that happened this time around was that Office moved to 64-bit. And in the move to 64-bit, the existing implementation of VBA There were certain things like pointers, right, where you may all of a sudden get a 64-bit pointer back rather than 32-bit, right? Uh-huh. And so we had to go and rev the version of VBA so that we could support these new types. And because of that, there also is going to be the situation where people have written VBA that actually needs to be tweaked a bit to work on a 64-bit system, right?
Okay.
Because if they all of a sudden are going to get returned a 64-bit value rather than a 32-bit value, they have to be able to account for that, right?
Sure.
Yeah. But we've done a lot of work to try and make that migration as easy as possible.
I bet. And for the people who write native plugins, for example, that might be 32-bit, they could just actually change their types and then recompile.
Right, exactly. Because it's, for the most part, the add-ins are running in the same process as offices, right?
Certainly.
So if it's now running in 64-bit, your add-in is now running in a 64-bit process.
So, cool. Yeah. So, I mean, now that 2010 is shipped, you know, that's great. What's next, man? What are you working on next?
I say, like you mentioned before, we're all in, right? And so it's continuing to look at the shift to the cloud and really what is the story for developers that allows them to go and build cloud-based services where the rich clients are essentially just participants in the larger solution, mm-hmm. right? And that's what we continue to focus on. We continue to want to talk to developers and find out what are the technologies that they're wanting to use, what are the types of solutions that they're wanting to build. Mm-hmm. And we just want to continue to evolve with the ecosystem. There's more and more. I mean, we get blown away every day by the type of things that people build in Office, stuff that we never would have predicted, right?
Excellent.
And so we just love that. We love following along and really just trying to keep providing people with the tools and the runtimes that they need.
Perfect, man. Well, hey, it's been great talking to you. So
yeah, thanks.
Thanks a lot and great job.
Thank you.